Hello listeners, welcome to Robotics. This is your host Satish Shukla. In today's episode, we are privileged to host a distinguished industry leader who has been at the forefront of supply chain automation in the retail sector for last three decades. He has been a pioneer in implementing some of the most innovative and novel robotic and automation solutions across warehouses in India. Please welcome Mr. P.V. Seshadri, Executive Vice President at Reliance Retail, the biggest retail company of India. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Satish. Thank you so much for inviting me here. I've been part of the industry for about last three decades and did a lot of things, learned a lot of things from people like you, and also still learning in the process. But yeah, so something which I have learned over a period of time, wherever that I get an opportunity to share with people so that I can pass on those learning to them. In return, when we get into a conversation, most of the time I've also taken something away from them. Thank you so much again, and happy to be here.
Very well said. Learnability is the most important trait to succeed in any trade or profession. So there is one thing that I would like to ask at the beginning itself. So retail is a very operations heavy sector. And in retail, supply chain is said to be one of the most non-glamorous sector. So how did you end up, or how did you join this supply chain domain, especially in retail?
I got into this function by accident. So when I started my career, there never used to be something called supply chain as a concept being practiced. And in the manufacturing, there used to be two major functions. One is the procurement function, which generally buys. Another function, which is nothing but stores and keeps supporting the maintenance or maybe process part of, you know, any manufacturing industry. I happens to be there at the first part of it, that is in the procurement part of it. And then after that, you know, many industries, then I switched over because, you know, any young at that point in time, the individual wants to build their career, right? So I also looking for a larger exposure, etc. From a small city of Bangalore at that point of time, not today. So
today it's the Silicon Valley.
Then it was not. I'm talking about late 80s and mid 90s. So at that point of time, I decided to get into a large enterprise to get more and better exposure. So that is how I left Bangalore, looking for a better opportunities. And I continued my career procurement. I went into steel industry, and then after that, I went into a textile processing industry, and all of them were same procurement part of it. One fine day, sitting in some place, I realized, I think I need to really, you know, because at that point of time, I was trying to upgrade my academics by going through material management courses. Supply chain was something which was mentioned, you know, somewhere in the curriculum, but not practiced anymore, not been very detailed. And I thought there's something which is definitely going to happen, and probably I need to look for an opportunity to get out of this hardcore tagged procurement professional. So that's the time when I left a very comfortable, cozy place in a small town in Madhya Pradesh, near Ujjain, and left for a crazy place, a mad town, a mad city, Bombay. So I was quite nervous at that point of time, but that is the time there was an opportunity in one of the largest textile company in India. They were trying to getting into a retail venture. There they wanted to really practice supply chain as a concept very seriously. So that is how I got introduced to supply chain as a concept. Of course, I did not plan it so well the way it is sounding. Definitely not. It's by chance and by God grace and maybe my destiny, I just landed over there at the right time in Mumbai. So within span of maybe 2 to 2.5 years, I just got an opportunity to work for one of the India's probably the largest retailer at that point of time in hardcore retail. In 2001, this concept was really getting very familiar and popular, supply chain as a concept. And in 2003, I really got into a retail supply chain. That is something which is definitely very challenging, because when you actually get into a modern retail store, what do you expect? Look and feel and touch and feel and everything, right? So everything has to be there in place. And you don't look at your choices, your options in mass. You want it to be there in place in same quantity and wide range of options which is required to be available to you. To make that wide range available to you with 20, 30, 40,000 SKUs, there's something which is actually going on, very hard work which is going on at the back end to ensure that, you know, these products are there on the shelf. So that is how I got into a retail supply chain. Then it started exciting me a lot because it's real madness there. Real madness. I'm talking about 2003 and 2004. Just imagine You have no technology to support. Today we call it as whatever we have, at least reasonable, and I'm talking about non-automated warehouses. At least you have some technology support, which is called WMS, that is Warehouse Management System. At that point of time, we had only one system, which is called BMS, that is Brain Management System. There's a lot of hard work needs to go into it. A lot of people, specialized, skilled person. Ram is specialized person for a category, men's, in that formal, he knows where the core is kept, where the fashion is kept, where solid is kept, where the stripe is kept. That is how the retail supply chain used to operate in 2003 and 2004. Those used to be hard days, very hard days. You know, the fill rates used to be at what, maybe around 60, 50, highest. Wow, we used to celebrate. So anyway, those are the difficult days. But yes, that is how I started my career in retail supply chain. And after that, you know, never looked back.
That's a very comprehensive journey indeed. In fact, destiny plays a very important role. And it's a very eventful journey from Bangalore to Madhya Pradesh to then Bombay, and then working with one of the biggest retailer of that time, definitely. You've mentioned that you were actually working with Brain Management System. So you've seen this retail and supply chain landscape evolve since liberalization. And we have moved from mom and pop shops to the plush retail centers in modern trade in the malls that you've mentioned. So what are some of the key robotic and automation technologies that you have adopted in supply chain vertical during this time?
Now, I still remember that the first visit we made was to Dubai, and we just wanted to have a look and feel of the warehouses, large, big warehouses.
Big boxes.
Absolutely. In Dubai, at that point of time, supposed to have a good chunk of modern retail there in all the formats, right? Grocery, electronics, etc. And we were quite impressed because things are kept in a very organized manner. Yes, so shelving, racking, storage, all grocery, case storage, each storage, everything fine. So that is how our exposure to the technology, and that's a learning phase for us. So we wanted to learn. That is how our exposure started, with a simple, good, nice looking buildings, good storage systems, and a basic technology to support them with an attempt to moving towards paperless operations. That's how the whole thing started. And we came back and they said, you know, I think we understood the building part of it. And at that point of time, India, unfortunately, you had no buildings to even support this kind of, you know, hierarchical storage. To have those kind of, you know, things, you need good security. And India at that point of time, I still remember that, you know, the rentals were around 6 rupees, 7 rupees per square feet. And in 6 rupees, 7 rupees per square feet, you can't expect someone to give you a 6 metric ton flooring. It's a high grade flooring where you can operate MHEs and steel and expect that the floor would not crack. So we thought, you know, okay, just getting a building is fine, fantastic. And then we realized just not getting a high building floor is such an important aspect of any warehouse. Just not getting a 12 meter building or 8 meter building floor is also so important. So learning number one came is that it's not about just building, it's also about, it's about the floor to go high and use the volume cubic.
So instead of just the surface area, utilize that.
And optimize the storage and bring in more efficiency out of the building. So that's the time we said, you know, we'll have to go and learn how to build a building.
Wow.
So that the whole building and your whole entire operation is very efficient. So we learned building part of it. When we were moving out of that, when we were actually in Chicago, I think I remember that, I visited Crafts. It's about a million square feet. Single box. And which had almost kilometers of conveyor in that. High-speed sortation system, cross-belt sorters, etc. Then we came back to India, we started focusing, we started collaborating with the developers. Then, when we got the building, we said, you know, we need to make use of height. And we got an MHE, metal handling equipment, which is suitable for that. And after some time, the next phase, we said, you know, how do you churn out 2x, 3x kind of throughput from the same warehouse? Storage is not important. What is important is that how can you make that building more productive every time? Not first time, every time. You have complexity. Retail is complex, right? You have complexity of thousands of SKUs. And also within that, old season SKUs all put together, new season put together, you have 100,000 SKUs to manage. And you get a request from the stores, and probably you'll have to pick and sort and store. And the volume which we could actually throughput was becoming very difficult because we realized same SKU is required for 200 stores, for example. And then there used to be 200 orders which is to get created and one person can maximum pick 10 to 15 orders. 20 people used to get deployed there to pick that. I think this is not going to work. But the technology is available to make that less complex, easier. So then do a batch pick and sort. Same SKUs, require for 200 stores, right? And bring it to one particular place, pick at a time. So we explored first level of technology, which is called put to light. That is how automation came into our life. I think probably that was maybe the first distribution center in this country for retail, which adopted our first basic level of technology and automation there. And we started
put to light.
Absolutely put to light, and we started doing batch pick. So that is how the overall introduction of automation happened in retail.
That's a very interesting take on seeing the technology and then adopting it. The learning curve is very different. And obviously when you have to learn at your own cost, then the ballgame changes a lot. So were you at any time afraid of failures? So there is no precedent, right? You were putting up these boxes or these technologies for the first time in India. So at any point of time, did it bother you? Or how did you get over that feeling? Okay, what if this technology doesn't work?
Satish, the best part is that, you know, we were very positive. That is something which we never used to even discuss, never even think of it. I said, if this technology has worked worldwide, and this technology should work here also, implementation and execution could be an issue with us. We know it very well. It's not going to be easy. But we are very well convinced we are not going to fail. It might be a matter of time. It might take a little more time to achieve that those objectives which you are set for. But it is definitely going to be a sure shot win there. It is not going to fail. So we had good team together within our supply chain at that point of time when we were introducing this. I was heading operation, a gentleman was heading design part of it, a gentleman was heading IT part. And all of us together as a team, we did keep the morale up. And we faced a lot of problems. And the only best part is that I always believe and I'll still suggest and advise people. There's nothing happens. If you think, you know, this, the success has to come, you sitting there in your chair, especially if you're a supply chain professional, please forget that. I would still say that, you know, you have to be on the ground at some point of time, may not be all the time, some point of time to ensure that there's something which is visible to you, may not be visible to the people who are working there on the ground. We should be prepared to be there and contribute to that extent. So at that point of time, we were all there on the ground before. The first warehouse took us almost like 3 to 4 months to
go live.
And the next 6 warehouses took us only 4 months.
Wow.
So see, that is what...
That is the power of learning compounding.
And also the confidence. And also, in spite of it is a running business, in spite of that is being a only one warehouse, which stores also, in spite of that, we never give up. See, if you're confident, the people on the ground will always follow you. Never allow negativity to flow into the system, which is very bad. You must have actually seen our recent implementation, large warehouses, large automation. That is not a small task, right? At no point we allowed anyone to come out with any kind of negativity in the overall approach.
Yeah, this is a classic playbook of early adopters. You have to be convinced, you need to have courage, and most importantly, you need to have a team that will fully back you up. So you have been a user of technology in supply chain and retail. So how do you decide when do you want to go for automation and when do you need robotics?
I need an automation. One is for the speed. Second is for the consistency. Third is the reliability. These are the three things which determines and the different weightages which allow you to make a decision on your demand automation. Today, you know, if you're doing 100,000 pieces and tomorrow if you require to do 200,000 pieces, you can't open 4 warehouses, right? You have to find out to achieve those numbers. So you need probably if automation can be an answer, yes. And second thing is reliability. It is very important. And see, automation, it's all about machines. And of course, I don't say it's 100% machine. It's a combination of, you know, man and machine. I always call it as man machine. See, with a lot of respect to human being, I would say that reliability is always being a question mark. And the people who are required to be there in the warehouse to perform those kind of tasks to support the business, you don't have people. Your fill rate that day is 70%. Your 30% should be lost. Besides that, you have unhappy customers there coming to your stores. So reliability was very important for us. So that is something probably your automation and robotics can answer to us. And second thing, consistency. Say you do a particular task, it has to be done. Similar way, even 100,000 times. Can a human being perform that? I would challenge anybody come back and tell me prove me to that a human being can actually perform that. It's not possible. If it is a repeated task consistently needs to be performed, I don't think we'll find a consistency of that.
But yeah, humans are not programmed to do that way.
Perfect. But humans are really helpful in programming
these robots.
I think that is their strength and property. That is where we look at it. So let's make best use of that. So that is where your automation decision gets posed into. So you get into such a decision, and we have always looked at such opportunities and started introducing automation into the system. They have really helped us. Even today, we employ robots, some of our warehouses, which you must have definitely seen that. Complex tasks get very easily. They are very mundane tasks. It's nothing but they do moving from here to there, very autonomous, moving here to there. They do a job which 3x the speed of a human being can do. Achieved. Objective is achieved. One point is very important. It's not about your commercial decision. It's not about your ROI decisions. And of course, in my opinion, with high regards to CFOs, financial professionals, I would say that it should always be left to a business decision. So, personally, in India, if you start looking at ROIs, probably you will not be able to make decisions.
I think in India, the adoption of robotics is also to cater to the scale rather than ROI.
So, my next point was that now the way we associate it with Azure, we are trying to bring in a technology at a very affordable cost. You can't compare your technology adoption and technology cost to human being. It's very unfair to compare. So ultimately, it is definitely going to be a business call.
That's a very interesting thing, that it is very unfair to compare the costs in technology.
It is really unfair, really unfair to compare, because if you are not really thinking about the future. And also, if your business, very clearly you are seeing that your business requires this to bring you a level of automation.
So if you are building for the future, you need to go for technology.
Absolutely.
Very well said. So as you mentioned that there are a lot of problems that can be solved with technology. One of the things that I came across was that return handling in e-commerce is a very tedious process, and it can go up to as much as 35 or 40% of the entire fulfillment cost, the entire return management cost. Is it really true? Is return handling that big a pain? And how does technology help in addressing this return management?
First of all, when a product gets delivered to the stores, it gets delivered in a fantastic condition. And second, it gets delivered through a lot of technology intervention. Like a product gets picked using a technology, but when it comes back, it is filled in a multi SKU carton. Probably one carton might have 30 SKU. Imagine such 10 cartons coming from one store and such returns coming from 300 to 500 stores. Important is that, you know, how do you sell that back? Earlier, I think I've seen that, you know, people used to sell that at the very high level markdown prices. And even for putting them back, you require that to be sorted and ensured it goes and sits in the right place so that, you know, it's available for the next pick. That's a very tedious and painful job here. First of all, you need to at least sort them into hierarchies which your business requires. And then after that, place it in a place and make it available for next pick. So to make that product again available and it's visible outside, you have to do a lot of work at the back end. Here, what we have really achieved a significant progress in this particular stage. You must have seen, Zippies are helping us a lot.
Yeah.
And so we have, you know, almost 70, 80 Zippies which is deployed there, and they track us, you know, the name itself. They said zip, zip, zip. They sort product to a specific, you know, category, specific size. And of course, where he's supposed to go in terms of specific location. I think we have a fantastic solution situation there. So I think the return pain to great extent get really sorted out. Otherwise, sorting them is going to be very difficult. And imagine if the same product, when it's coming back, is made available for sale again in a matter of maybe around 30, 40 minutes.
Tremendous value unlocked.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because the amount of time you save, the lesser the markdown would be.
Very well said. So, since you have been delivering through supply chain a lot of products across different formats, retail, e-commerce, modern trade, etc. If you had to go for shopping, what kind of a robot or automation solution would you prefer in that outlet?
I don't want anyone to accompany me when I'm actually walking in the aisles for shopping. I don't want to that extent, but I have an expectation. It's very important. Painful part is the time when you come back, you stand in the queue. You queue up there.
That's a big pain.
Yeah, you queue up there for view because this is a pain.
Yeah.
Imagine the day. You said, I pick up and put that. Or maybe a robot walking with me, and maybe after that it accompanies me. I put my all products. The technology exists there.
Yeah.
And just chuck out in the same speed. And speed I've entered the store. I think that is the day which I'm looking at. Many of them are not able to. I think Reliance is planning to experiment. Some of the retailers are trying to experiment that.
So that will be a knockout value proposition.
Absolutely, because that is very impatient moment for me. And then I'm by nature itself, I'm very restless. And you expect me to pick up all my stuff and product and then hold it and stand there waiting for my turn. I still believe that most of the retailers have really worked well these kind of technologies. And something which I would love to experience.
So thank you. Thank you for your time. That was a very interesting conversation and we got to learn a lot about how retail is transforming and robotic and automation is helping retail to transform.
Thank you.
Thank you, Satish. Thanks, AdWorld. They have added a lot of value to our supply chain. And that's the reason India's greatest and largest retailer cannot be just by chance unless it has great systems, processes, technology is supporting them. I think this is where supply chain has also played a role. I think that is where AdWorld has given us a lot of support.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much. Thanks.
Thank you.
So, listeners, I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. Like and subscribe to continue on this robotic journey with us. Until next time, this is your host Satish Shukla, signing off.